If you want to know what is really happening in the world today, you need to read the Parsha HaShavua, the weekly Torah reading. Join Rabbi Mendel Lipska for the next hour as he delves and enumerates the themes running through the weekly Torah Parsha, only on 101.9 Chai FM.
And a wonderful Erev Shabbos to all of you. Great to be with you again. Talk about the Parsha, talk about life. To take a look at the Torah and see what Torah has to say to us, particularly at this time not only of the year, but this time of our lives, this time the lives of the Jewish people, when we need direction, we need to hear things clearly, we need to understand to whatever level we can what is happening and how to respond to the situation, how to understand our feelings, how to understand the currents that are flowing through the world, and to ask ourselves painful questions, to ask ourselves the whys. How is it that people behave in the way that they do? And to ask ourselves, is there anything we can do in order to change that? Is there anything we should do in order to change it? And this is where Torah comes in, by divine providence, each and every single week. We have a parsha that we read, a parsha that we learn, a parsha that contains the eternal, infinite wisdom of God, written in language that we understand, told to us in language that is relevant in context of our own lives. And this week we have the added dimension, not only the parsha of the week, but this week we have a double parsha, Matot and Masai. Because of the structure of the calendar this year, these parshas come together, and by coming together, we have a double message, the message of Matot, the message of Masai, and the fact that they come together, they blend their messages to give us a far more powerful message had they been read separately. It's also Shabbos Chazak. We conclude the book of Bamidbar, conclude the book of Numbers, and every time we finish one of the five books of the Torah, it is with tremendous joy, exuberance, strength, we call out, Chazak, Chazak, Benitchazek, be strong, and let us strengthen each other. It's also Shabbos Mevorchim. We bless the new month of Menachem Av. And all these things come together in one magnificent symphony of divine energy and divine blessing. The two parshas of Matot and Masai. Matot, of course, means the tribes, those that represent the Jewish people according to the individual groupings that God designated based upon the children of Jacob. And Masai, the journeys, the travels, the incredible movement of the Jewish people from the moment that they became a people until the present day. And these, of course, are eternal messages, because after all, we identify from the roots that we come from, we identify with the journeys that we've made and will continue to make. It's Chazak. It's a time that we call out, be strong, and the responsibility of strengthening each other. This is a time that we need extra strength. It's a time that people can become fearful. It's a time that people begin to worry about what is it in the world that seems to overwhelm us? What is it in the world that turns yet again against the Jewish people? What is it in the world that brings out this incredible, unreasonable hatred toward the Jewish people? And it's a time to call out and say, Chazak, Chazak, v'nitchazek. Be strong, and we have to turn to each other and strengthen ourselves and each other. Now is a time that we have to recognize the divine strength, the fortitude that we have. We are an eternal people, and as an eternal people, there is an inherent, everlasting, powerful strength that we possess. We will not be destroyed. And this is something that we have to remember, notwithstanding all the evil that exists in the world, all the evil that is thrown at us, whether in deed or in word or in attitude, we will remain as a people, as a proud people. And this is chazak, the strength. And what is that strength? That strength is that we connect to God, we connect to His Torah, we connect to the fact that we are prepared to move on to the next level of Torah. This is our strength. Our strength is that we have a legacy upon which we take tremendous comfort. We are connected to the eternal word of Hashem. We are connected to the beauty, to the strength, to the wisdom, to those words that give us comfort, that give us direction, that give us purpose. Chazak, chazak, benit chazek. It's Shabbos Mevorchem, the Shabbos of blessing. And who doesn't need a blessing? Each and every one of us, whether in terms of sustenance, whether in terms of nachas, whether in terms of relationship, certainly in terms of what's happening in the world today, our holy land, our people under threat, people at risk today. Who doesn't need a blessing? We all need a blessing. And it's something that we ask Hashem, we ask God each and every single day, perhaps in our own language, perhaps in our own way, but each and every one of us calls for blessing. And it's the blessing that we ask Hashem when we prepare ourselves for the new month. And what month is it? Menachem Av, the month that on the one hand contains the saddest day of the year, Tisha B'Av. A day that we tragically have to remember the destruction not only of the first but the second temple, a time that the Jewish people went into long, bitter, difficult, and painful exiles. It's also a month that contains the 15th of Av, the most joyous day of the year, as our sages say in the Mishnah, that there hasn't been such days of joy as the 15th of Av. But Av is a month that is called Menachem Av. Translated simply, it means Menachem Av, when the Father consoles us. Who's the Father? God, of course. He consoles us because he sees, he empathizes with us in the difficulty of the exile in which we live. And we live at this moment in time in an exceptionally difficult exile. An exile where we are surrounded by people who want to do us harm, much harm, and people who don't understand that there are those who want to do us harm, people who don't understand that all we want is to live at peace, to live in a world where we can exercise our right to live at peace. And yet there are those who, unfortunately, behave in the most monstrous way against us. And this is a time that we call out for Mevarchim, we call out for blessing, we call out for Hashem's added beautiful blessings when we prepare for the new month of Menachem Av. We ask Hashem to console us, divine consolation, consolation that comes from the highest possible level and transforms the grief, transforms the sadness, not only removes the grief and sadness, but transforms the grief and sadness into elements of intense joy and festivity. It takes the day of Tisha B'Av and transforms it into a day of intense joy. It makes us recognize the 15th of Av, Menachem Av. At the same time, Menachem Av also means it's we who have to comfort the Father as well. Does God need our comfort? Yes, He does. In a sense, He was driven from His home. The Beit HaMikdash, the Holy Temple, housed the revealed presence of God. And because of, well, our behavior, invasion of the enemy, we were driven. And God was driven from His house, and we have to console Him. And how do we console God? By returning to His commandments, to His Torah, to His word, to His instruction. It's this incredible symbiotic relationship. He consoles us. Our Father consoles us. Almighty God consoles us. And we, His children, console Him. More of that soon.
This is the Parsha HaShavua with Rabbi Mendel Lipska, only on 101.9 High FM.
So we're talking about consolation, consoling the Father, God Almighty, and God, our Father, consoling us. And how do we do that? For that, we have to look into the Parsha, or as we mentioned earlier, the two Parshas of this week, the first being Matos, which talks about, well, a person who places restrictions upon his life, as we'll soon describe, and Masai, which talks about the journeys that the Jewish people took in the wilderness from the time they left Egypt, the time of the Exodus, until they came to the Jordan, ready to cross over into the promised land of Canaan, ultimately the Holy Land, the promised land. The Parsha of Matos begins with a rather strange law. A person places upon himself the restriction, he makes neder, a type of oath that he will restrict himself from certain foods, drink, physical behavior, physical pleasures for a certain amount of time. And the question is in fact discussed among the sages, is this a good thing or is it a bad thing? Some sages say it's, well, not the best after all. God gave you enough restrictions. He gave you all sorts of negative commandments, restrictions. Why do you have to add more to your life? And some sages say, no. It's good that a person understands himself well enough to know his weaknesses and therefore places restrictions upon his life. What is it really all about? And why tell us this at this particular time? After all, these are laws that should have been included when Torah speaks about the laws in the book of Exodus and the book of Leviticus. Why talk to us now when the Jewish people are about to enter the promised land? You'll remember, and we discuss this very often, that the Jewish people initially resisted coming into the promised land because they felt that it would interfere with their spiritual life. In the wilderness, in the desert, they lived a perfectly comfortable and protected spiritual life. Manna came from heaven. They were protected by the clouds of glory. They were able to dedicate their lives to the study of Torah, to purely spiritual and holy things. But by going into the physical, secular world, they would have to work the land. Manna would not come from heaven. They would have to work for their bread, plant, bake, do whatever it is to have bread to eat, etc., etc. Defend themselves. They wouldn't have the clouds of glory to protect them. They wouldn't be able to sit and study all day, only a few hours here and there. And Hashem said, no, this is what I want. I want you to enter into the world and to deal with the material and physical dimensions of the world. This is the purpose of creation. Not to live a life of isolation. Not to live a life of protection behind spiritual walls. I want you to live in the physical world and to deal with the physical world correctly. And this is why I gave you and I give you commandments what to do and what not to do, so that your life and behavior in the physical world will be correct. But sometimes a person has certain shortcomings, certain weaknesses, and he understands that even though there are certain laws that should protect him against the temptations of a physical world, he is, in a sense, a little bit weak, and therefore he or she has to put up extra barriers, extra fences, because they know that otherwise they will be seduced by the physical temptations of a physical world. And this is something which we have to understand. The physical world has to be handled with great care. Not everything goes. Not everything is acceptable. We live in a world today where there are so many who preach that there are no differences between right and wrong, between good and evil. In fact, there is no such thing as good and evil. Everything is okay. It just depends how you feel. If you feel it's good, then it's good. If you feel that it's not good, then it's not good. Nothing is prescribed. Nothing is, in fact, really good or really bad. And young people, children, are being raised with that type of thinking. And they grow up confused. And they can't make responsible choices. And because they can't make responsible choices, they end up in a life of distorted realities. They don't know the difference between right and wrong. They don't know the difference between good and evil. And therefore, they suffer the consequences of what good and evil might bring them all accidentally. It's not the result of considered choices and considered behavior patterns. It simply comes upon them, for they had no knowledge of how to make correct choices in life. The word good and evil doesn't exist anymore. The word right and wrong doesn't exist anymore. And this is what this parsha is talking about. Look at the world and understand that there is a very real barrier and distinction between right and wrong. And you have to know that choices carry with them consequences. And when you make the right choice, the consequences bring you wonderful rewards. And God forbid, when you make wrong choices, you have to go through the suffering of the consequences in order to bring your life back into order. And this is why, from time to time, a person should, in actual fact, put certain fences around behavior patterns that can bring the individual into a situation of distortion and confusion. Because after all, none of us are so absolutely perfect and strong that we can withstand every temptation in life. We simply cannot. A responsible person knows that there is a constant battle within oneself between, well, as the first Lubavitch Rebbe, the Alter Rebbe in Tanya, talks about, the divine godly soul and the animal soul. And the godly soul, by its very name, wants, well, godly and good things in life as defined by the mitzvot in Torah. And the animal soul, as its name implies, is driven by animal desires. And there is this tension. There is this frustration. And the choices are sometimes blurred by the confusion and the tension that this inner battle has. And this is why sometimes you have to, well, turn away from certain elements within the physical world, which, although in the purest form might be permissible, but for the individual who has certain shortcomings and weaknesses, it's best to stay away. We live in a world where everything is available. We live in a world where, well, there are very few restrictions on anything. On our cell phones, on our computers. You open the television. Whatever you want is there. Is it all good? No, it's not all good. And yes, we speak about filters. We speak about this, that, and the other. But everyone, even young children, have access to whatever they want. And most people, in fact, children, can't keep their noses out of their phones, their iPads. And this is what life is all about. And do they have the discipline to make choices? I think not. And this is what this parsha is teaching us. Before you go into the promised land, where you have to interact with the physical world, remember that you have to understand yourself, your particular makeup, your particular character, and know your strengths and know your weaknesses and know when you have to put up individual fences, even if something might be permissible, but it's not for you. The second parsha, journeys. This is something which is important to understand. Journeys have a beginning and a destination. Life is not accidental. We come from somewhere, and we're going somewhere. And we always have to remember where we come from. We come from the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the matriarchs, Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, Leah, men and women of incredible greatness. And they've endowed us with tremendous, tremendous gifts. Gifts of intellect, emotion, decency, morality. We stood at Sinai as a people. We've made journeys, and we have a destination, the destination of Mashiach, the destination of bringing about, yes, a perfect world. And as long as we remember that we have journeys of purpose, life has a purpose. The minute we forget that we are on a mission of purpose, life longer has a purpose. Everything is, well, accidental. I'm here, I'm not here. Doesn't matter where I come from. Doesn't matter where I'm going to. And this is why we have to look at life and understand that there is divine providence, where God directs the footsteps of the human. Wherever we go, whatever we do, there is a purpose in all those things. Why I'm here? Why was I born to particular parents at a particular time, at a particular place? Why I put my energies into a particular situation, why I interact, why do I do what I'm doing. It's not accidental. In the parasha we read about how God says to Moshe, I'm giving you one last job before you will leave this world. And that's to avenge me and to avenge the people for the terrible things that Midian did to them. Sounds a bit harsh. But what does avenge mean? Anger? Rage? You did something bad to me, I'm going to do it back. No. To remove the evil that exists in the world. And how do we do that? Well, first of all, by recognizing evil. And how do you recognize evil? You look into Torah and try to understand, how does Torah define evil? You understand what a journey is. Does this act allow me to continue on the journey of life in a purposeful sort of way? Or does it create a terrible detour? These are the issues contained within this parsha. And these are the things that I have to think about and recognize, because I have to make choices. I have to understand the journey. I have to understand the purpose of life. These are the parshas of Matas Amasa. More of that soon.
This is the Parsha HaShavua with Rabbi Mendel Lipska, only on 101.9 High FM.
It's a very difficult journey. Because we look at the world, and as I mentioned earlier on, we see the hate, we see the violence, we see the chaos. We see a world that teaches children there's no difference between good and evil, right and wrong. We see a world that behaves in the most monstrous way and people don't respond. In fact, identify with them. We see a world that, for whatever reason, and there are no good reasons, but for whatever reason, choose to look at darkness and call it light, look at evil and call it good, look at the wrongs of human behavior and call it right. And we live in that world, and we try to understand why, but there is something else we have to do. And that's to take a look at ourselves, and to take a look at ourselves with honesty, and to take a look at ourselves with a degree of objectivity. And this is the second week of the 3 weeks, when once again we have to listen to the words of the prophet Jeremiah. And it's the Haftarah, the second Haftarah of the 3 weeks. And we listen to what Jeremiah is telling the Jewish people in the name of God. And he says, listen to the words of God, the house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. So says God. And what does he say in the name of God? He turns to the Jewish people. And don't forget, Jeremiah prophesying the destruction. Jeremiah is a prophet who witnessed destruction. Jeremiah is a prophet who told the people again and again and again that unless they change their ways, the temple will be destroyed. The people will be taken into exile. And what does he say? And this is in the name of God, the words of God. He said, God says, What fault did your fathers find in me that they turned against me? Instead of calling out, where is God, the one who did such incredible, miraculous things to us, took us out of Egypt, out of bondage, out of hundreds of years of slavery, and brought us to a land of such goodness and greatness. They turned to me and turned against me. What fault did they find in me? And they turned to idolatry and immoral behavior until the point came that I had to drive them out of that beautiful land. And this is something which we, the people, have to look at, particularly at this time of the year. Yes, the world is a dark place. Yes, people behave badly. Yes, there are those who wish to do us harm and do us terrible harm. But we mustn't forget to look at ourselves as well. We mustn't forget to look at ourselves and to ask that question. Why have we ourselves turned away from God? What fault have we found in Him? What is it that causes us to choose elements of shallowness? Why have we turned to whatever idolatry was fashionable at the time, whatever idolatry is fashionable in our time? What is it that makes us walk away from truth and decency and faith? And we choose to turn our backs on our great journey, the patriarchs, the matriarchs, Sinai. What is it that causes us to behave badly in the eyes of God? This is what Jeremiah cries out to us. Jeremiah wants us to come back. He ends the great prophecy by speaking about, if you come back to me, he says, in the name of God, I will receive you with justice and with kindness and with all the good things. This is a time that we can do wondrous things. Yes, there are all sorts of things that we as a people have to do right now to counter the terrible behavior of those who wish to do us harm. But at the same time, we mustn't forget to do the inner service of repentance, of returning to God, of doing those things that indicate that God and His Torah are precious, are dear to us. And we wish to reconnect on a most internal and powerful way. This is that time. This is that time of the year where we have to concentrate on bettering our lives at a far deeper level. So when you're in shul tomorrow, listen to both parshiot, because they are full of interesting stories, interesting indicators of, well, each and every single portion that will be read is full of incredible, incredible messages. And as I always say, they have something personal to say to you, and you will hear it when you will hear it and react well, because it says something to you that you have to hear. And when it comes to the Haftarah, listen to the words of Jeremiah, because he's talking to each and every one of us. He's pouring his heart out in the name of God, because he wants to bring us back, and he stands there with open arms. Hashem wants to console us. He wants to embrace us. He wants to bring us, all of us, to bring us home in every sense of the word. And this is why the Shabbos is so very special. When it comes to the end of the parsha, sing out to the top of your voice, Chazak, Chazak, Benit Chazek, be strong, and let us strengthen each other with all the power that we have, physically and spiritually. When you're going to bless the new month of Menachemov, we should ask for Hashem's blessing in every sense of the word, on every single level. We ask for Hashem's blessing that the month of Av should be transformed to one of such intense joy that the world will be filled with beauty and light and with goodness and with incredible, incredible, incredible light. The light of Mashiach, yes. This is what this Shabbos is all about. It's a time of tremendous, tremendous opportunity. So let's use it well. Good Shabbos.